you are from Torquay originally. So how, just from Geelong and the Surf Coast, how does Beth from Torquay get to working at NASA?
A bit of a long story, and it goes via a few different locations, like working in the sushi shop in Torquay. But honestly, it was a lot of study. So yeah. I set my eyes on NASA really early, as I think I've discussed with you guys previously, and then went to Melbourne Uni and did physics and engineering, and had a bit of a hard time working out then what I wanted to do next. I knew I wanted to do space and didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to the States because there was so much activity in the US and in this sector. So I went for graduate school, so master's and then PhD, and from there kind of stepped over to NASA.
So what is it, your particular role at the moment with the organisation? What are you doing?
So I'm a propulsion and systems engineer. So as a systems engineer, I have kind of a more broad scope in terms of what I'm doing. Right now, I'm very much involved in the Perseverance rover, the Mars 2020, as we call it, JPL, and now named Perseverance, which is on its way to Mars. I just checked how far it is, and it's 40% of the way to Mars, which means we've got a busy time ahead before it lands, and we get operating on the surface.
To think about it, you know, 40% of the way there, but really, when you're talking about millions of kilometres, it's already travelled a fair chunk away, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking up numbers earlier. So we get these, it's great, we get these updates saying like the rover's this far into the mission and yeah, it gives it in terms of how many kilometres away from Earth, how many kilometres to Mars. But the scale is just so hard for the mind to comprehend at that point that the numbers start to blur together for me, and I've now resorted to, okay, what percentage of the way are we?
I feel like that would be some of the most exciting time because obviously my image of NASA is when there's a big group of you in one room and you're waiting for something to land on something and then you get very excited when it does happen. Is there pressure on the fact that it might not actually land?
Yeah, so February 18th is going to be a stressful date. But at least everyone will be in matching T-shirts, so, you know.
Oh, cool.
We'll have the fashion right.
So with this mission in particular.
There's absolutely nerves, you know.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
I was just going to say there's always nerves. So the whole landing process for the Perseverance rover is going to be very similar to what we saw with Curiosity back in 2012. So it's the same system. It's known as build to print. So, like, take those drawings, build it again. For the landing system, the rover itself has some changes. But even then, right, there's always risks, and it's a really complicated sequence of events that has to happen with, you know, not really human in the loop. You're just relying on all of your hardware to act like it's meant to, and all of your software to step through all of the sequence. So, yeah, there'll certainly be some nerves.
And you're putting a lot of trust and faith into the system as well. So what is the key outcome from this mission in particular, the Mars 2020 Perseverance rover? What do you guys want to achieve? Was there whispers or did I read something about something like fossilised or other life?
Yeah, so this is, I mean, a lot of folks at JPL are really excited about it, and hopefully that excitement's shared around the world as we start to operate. But this is one of the first times since the 70s that we're going really actively seeking signs of ancient life. So we had the Viking lander in the 70s that was looking for signs of life. But back then, you know, we thought we might land on Mars, and I'm exaggerating, but, you know, see like little green aliens running around, right? Like that's what the cartoons and stuff were showing at the time.
Yeah.
And now we know a lot more about it. And, you know, we've found this evidence of you know, water on Mars, like frozen ice. We think it was once a warmer and wetter planet. And so now we're really actively seeking signs of ancient life. And then we're hoping to collect rock samples. So take interesting rock and soil samples, collect them with this rover, seal them up, and drop them off to then have a series of proposed spacecraft, collect them and bring them back to Earth for more analysis. So we're really hoping that this might be step one in a sample return campaign to bring samples from Mars back to Earth.
What an exciting time. And I mean, imagine from like being where you are in Torquay, when you were in Torquay, to now being a part of this, it must be an amazing thing to do. What are you still dreaming to get up into space, or now that you're a mum, maybe not?
I'd maybe reflect on it. I would still love to go. Still love to go. So that hasn't changed. It just it's a long, kind of slow journey. So
is
coming
there a
as an Australian,
list?
Somewhat. Certainly a list of folks who are willing to, you know, compete for it. so there is actually an active call at the moment for astronauts. I think folks put in the application last year, but in order to apply, you need to be a US citizen. So if I were to do it, it would be as a dual citizen. That would be my hope.
All right. So I've still got time to arrange a marriage in that case. That's awesome.
Can I just say, you guys must have the best pub trivia team from NASA. I was just thinking about it, like having work drinks, and you must go out and do pub trivia. Do you guys always win?
Well, so the problem is, right, you go to that in your local town, and the local area around the NASA Center has a lot of folks from work. So unfortunately, you all end up going.
So it's still fiercely competitive.
Yeah, similar question.
Yeah. To finish up, because this week in Australia is National Science Week, and obviously you're someone who has fulfilled your dream. What is it about space for you? Sorry, I should say National Space Week. What is it about space for you that you just adore? When you're a kid, was it just the unknown? Was it just looking up at the stars? What fueled your passion?
At a superficial level, I loved the idea that in space you're kind of free and can fly. But honestly, the bigger thing for me has always been this idea of exploring and pushing ourselves as a species to be better than what we currently are. So I love a lot of the work that's done for space exploration that can then be spun off to then apply to Earth to help improve life on Earth, whether that's, you know, looking at how we use our resources for human exploration and then saying, okay, well, how could this technology that we developed for space now be used to improve water recycling systems on Earth, for example? And I just love this idea that when we talk about space exploration, it's really not an individual's effort, but it's something that as a whole species we can get behind together and say, hey, we're trying to achieve something really wonderful together, and kind of all the boundaries and you know, all of the hardships that we're all currently facing can seem a little bit easier to bear.
Well, we can hear your passion. You're an incredible role model for young women especially, but kids with any of those STEM programs across Geelong and the Surf Coast. From NASA, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Not every day that we speak to someone from NASA. So, Beth, we appreciate your time again. And, all the best for February 18th.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it, guys.